Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, this is Jackie Cash, and welcome to the Dork Forest. You have chosen wisely. You may have found it on iTunes or dorkforest.com or thedorkforest.com if you enjoy a determiner, or jackiecation.com, where everything leads out, like the hub. You might have found me through allthingscomedy.com, which is the podcast network that I'm part of, Al Madrigal and Bill Burr's podcast network, which has a lot of great shows on it. Go to All Things Comedy and look at it. My hour-long special, which, by the way, top 10 from the Washington Post Comedy Specials of the Year last year, 2014. This will make an excellent horcrux. I was number 4. Very exciting. Anyway, $5 download off of allthingsrecords.com/JackieCation. All lowercase for some reason. Anyway, or you can get a hard copy at JackieCation.com of the CD or the DVD. Two different shows. You could just buy the DVD and rip the audio. But I really liked the show where I did the CD. So there you go. You can get combos, you can get t-shirts, you can get a hooded sweatshirt, zip hoodie. You can, there's merch is what I'm saying at JackieCation.com. And also there's a portal to Amazon. So when you order from Amazon, if you go through JackieCation.com, I get a kickback. It's a way to support the show. If you don't want to donate or buy stuff, if you can't, and that's no problem. You just talk it up too. If you want to donate, you can donate $100 a year by sending me $10 a month. Yes. I haven't made it easy. So there's a donation button on dorkforest.com and on jackiecation.com. So feel free to do that if you like the show and you have $10 a month or $100 a year, and I'll send you a trinket. That'll be fun. The credits. Let's do them. Late. Mike Rickberg composed and sang with his girlfriend Sarah Cohen the Dork Forest theme song, and he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the show. In addition, Patrick Brady going to fix this audio. It's going to be great. And Vilmos does my website design for JackieCation.com. I do stand-up comedy, you guys. My schedule, full schedule, is at JackieCation.com. It's February 17th, 2015, so I'm in Los Angeles. And then I'm in Vancouver with Maria, and then in Nashville with Maria, and then all over the Southwest with Brian Regan. So I'm opening up for fancy people who are also, by the way, very nice people, which is what I... one of my criterium. Anyway, the first week of March, I'm in Austin, Texas, Cap City. By the way, this week, I'm going to be on Conan, unless they change it between the 17th and the 19th. I'm going to be doing the Conan O'Brien show, stand-up comedy, on February 19th. Very exciting. Anyway, thanks a lot for listening. Let's get into it.
At RBC Wealth Management, social responsibility starts at the top. As a part of the Royal Bank of Canada, RBC has been recognized among the world's financial, social, and environmental corporate leaders. Our sense of responsibility extends to our reputation for putting clients' interests first. My personal commitment is to help you achieve your financial goals by also considering sustainable and responsible investing strategies. To learn more, visit www.darlacashian.com. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm still in New York City, even though I'm not in New York City, because now it's not the time when this will be airing. But I am sitting here with Paige Branson. Welcome to the Dork Forest.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
All right. I have been on your podcast, yes. Level 7 Access.
Yes, a couple times now.
And with Andy Ashcraft, yes. Discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and all things Marvel.
Yes.
And you, I'm in New York, and you're like, no, I will take a bus down from Baltimore.
Gladly.
To be on the Dork Forest.
Gladly.
That's possibly the dorkiest thing ever. It's awesome.
It's not that hard for me to do, because just going from Baltimore to New York, it's just Greyhound bus, $20. It was like, oh, okay, so I can spend $20.
Is that round trip?
Yeah, round trip.
Holy hell.
Yeah, so super easy.
That is super easy.
So I was like, okay, $20, and I get to go up to New York for the day and be on the Dork Forest. Yeah, okay, I'll do that. I'll
free
do that.
Free t-shirt.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I can't pass that up.
Okay. And you did the amazing fan art that I'm using, by the way, as my cover of everything.
It's awesome.
It's very Yay. Fun. There's been some really cool fan art from Dork Forest lately. I got a couple of awesome Magic the Gathering cards from this guy and his wife. And really, Jackie, not going to say their names? Nope, not going
to
know them.
Nope, gone to the ether.
Still fighting a cold. And my apologies. I love them with the power of the sun, as do I love me and Groot and baby Groot. Awesome. So great, Paige Branson. And so at Paige_Branson, B-R-A-N-S-O-N.
Mm-hmm. Make it
Twitter,
easy.
Is your Twitter feed. And then it's just Paige Branson, no_.tumblr for your more of your art.
Right, because that wasn't taken.
Exactly. And which is weird that that's not taken. That person who was on Twitter...
Yeah,
just want a Tumblr.
Yeah, just didn't make the jump. You know, didn't like cat pictures.
How about Instagram?
No, I'm not on Instagram. No, like I'm still avoiding it. I don't know.
And if anyone's on LinkedIn, I don't want to be linked.
Oh no,
to you.
Not me. No,
I can't do it.
Yeah,
I'm linked to everything else, and so you've done vital work.
Yeah.
So, and then Level 7 podcast. That's on iTunes and
iTunes,
and
Libsyn, Stitcher, wherever.
Find your fine podcasts.
Exactly.
And at Level 7 Pod, Access Pod?
At Level 7 Access Pod
there
on Twitter, yes.
For Twitter for the podcast tweet.
Mm-hmm.
And super fun. And now we are going to talk about, we could talk about Marvel, and we will.
At great length.
Right. But let us figure out if we're really going to, what we're going to do here. Sailor Moon.
Yes.
That's what jumped out at me because I don't know anything about it.
Awesome. Yeah, that was like one of the first like cartoons and like animations that I really, really, really fell in love with.
Right.
Like right when I was like little, it was one of the first things like on TV that like really, really jumped out at me.
And grabbed you?
Yeah, because like I could tell like the animation is suddenly much better than everything else that I see on TV right now.
Okay.
Why is this? And it was kind of around the time when like you're just starting to have home computers and internet in your house.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, maybe this magical box upstairs can tell me some more information about this. And then I started to learn like, oh, Japanese animation. There are different kinds of animation. Maybe I'll go down this rabbit hole.
Right, right. That is a huge artistic rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Did it sort of inspire you to, I mean, because you were probably drawing anyway as a little kid.
Yeah, exactly.
Because everyone was.
Yeah.
But like people who become artists, it's a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what they discover and whatever. So Sailor Moon, I get it mixed up, I'm afraid, with Powerpuff Girls. And
that's understandable, yeah.
So, what? It is not Powerpuff Girls, and it is not Hello Kitty.
It spawned Powerpuff Girls, kind of.
Oh,
the whole,
it?
Like, magical girl genre, basically. It's
okay.
Kind of, like, there were a couple others before that, but it's the one that really took off when it comes to, like, any magical girl anime kind of style.
Okay.
Early 90s, that's when like the manga came out, and it was definitely like a big thing for like
it came out in book form in manga.
Yes.
And then they made it into that was in the early 90s.
Yes.
And then they made it into a TV show.
Almost at the same time.
Okay.
So the manga was still being written at the same time that the show was on. So basically each season would go with like a certain arc of the manga and would run kind of concurrently and then go into crazy pants sometimes in the anime because
they're caught faster.
Yeah, exactly. So they were just like, well, we have our own ideas for certain things. And then they just kind of deviate like every single season almost.
Right. And it is huge. The fandom for Sailor Moon.
Yeah.
It has
survived. Yeah.
It's so who is she? What's her deal? Is she in the Navy? What's happening?
Usagi. Oh, Usagi. Yeah, that's her name.
Okay.
Her full first name and last name literally means Rabbit of the Moon. So she's the Moon Princess. Reincarnated, from like this whole moon kingdom, that came before everything. The creator plays loosey goosey with like history and mythology and just goes like, yeah, there was a kingdom on the moon. Yes, this happened. This is recorded history. This totally happened. Also, there was an Earth kingdom at the same time. This also totally happened. Go with it. Why is it not in our history books? No.
Well, why isn't Black Bolt in our history
exactly.
books?
Exactly.
So there's Dracula's on half of the moon, so it's fine.
Yes.
But what about... So she comes from a moon kingdom?
Yes. Like, so that all happened in the past. And the big whole kerfuffle involving the main villain of the first season basically being in love with the Prince of the Earth Kingdom... she didn't like it all that great because the Prince of the Earth Kingdom was in love with the Princess of the Moon Kingdom. So, star-crossed lover stuff.
So, is she a Princess of the Moon Kingdom?
Yes.
And she did not fall in love with the Prince of the Earth Kingdom.
She did.
They both fell in love with each other.
And then Extra Lady, Beryl, who is the main villain of the first season and first manga arc.
Yeah.
Is basically the one who's like, oh, that sucks. I was in love with the Prince of the Earth.
Okay.
I'm just going to lead this whole army of the Earth against, let's say, both the Prince of the Earth Kingdom and the Moon Kingdom, because I can just do that.
So she, and is she in the Moon Kingdom or is she in the Earth Kingdom? She's an Earth Kingdom lady.
Yeah.
And so she gets her own army.
Yeah.
And she's like, I am going to have a two-front war, like Napoleon, and fight both Earth and Moon.
Yeah, because I'm a little angry pants. Yeah.
Because I'm super sad about this boy doesn't like me.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. How old are we all? Are we all 15 in this? Are we all Romeo and Julietting?
All Romeo and Julietting.
Okay.
But this is pretty much what's happening.
Yeah.
And so she just rampages, goes through Moon Kingdom,
excellent,
sets that on fire, kills both the prince and the princess. It's like, awesome. That was great.
Wait, she kills Sailor Moon?
Yeah. This isn't... Oh, yeah. Here we go. Yeah. So this, again, all in the past. Totally past. Totally far removed from where we are in the present day with Sailor Moon.
Oh, this is all the historical backstory.
Yeah, this is the backstory you got to get
Sailor
through.
Moon. You got to get through that.
Exactly.
And continue. Thank you very much.
So, murderificates everyone pretty much on the moon, including the Prince of the Earth. Hooks up with this evil, bad, purple mass thing. It's never really described as being very descript, called Queen Metalia.
Queen Metalia is...
I love this series, but it's so convoluted sometimes. As like,
I talked to a guy yesterday for 57 minutes just about the book Dune.
Awesome.
You can't... Yeah, you're not gonna... Go deep, go down the rabbit hole and tell me, because I do want to know who the queen is. Who is the queen?
Again, not very descript. It's just a purple mass of evil and hate. And then she joins up with Beryl, who's just like, good job killificating everyone. Hey, could you do me a solid and release me from the seal that like the Moon Kingdom put me under? Could you like go do that at some point for me? And Beryl's like, sure, I'll get around to it. And so... Basically, because of the Princess of the Moon's mother, the Queen Serenity, reincarnates everyone who was on the moon.
Oh,
yeah.
Everyone's been killed.
Yes, everyone's killed.
But the Queen Mother can go and undo.
Exactly.
Okay.
Basically, just goes undo. Reincarnates everyone on Earth.
Okay.
All the good guys.
All the good guys also come back.
Exactly. So everyone gets reincarnated as 14 to 17 year old kids.
Sure.
As you do.
But with all their memories?
No. They had to figure that out on the way.
Okay.
So that is basically the first season of Sailor Moon and the first arc of Sailor Moon was just like, oh, hey, I have superpowers. I have a talking cat that's telling me I'm the princess of the moon all of a sudden. I have to go fight this evil queen Beryl who has this beef with me.
Okay.
Which I don't understand yet.
Oh. Essentially, everyone has mass amnesia from the reincarnation process.
Exactly.
And so, but she has been given a task by the cat.
Yes.
To go and fight. And they're like, we brought you back because Beryl's still out there. We got to end this.
Yeah. We got to go stop this threat, this threat to Earth. You got to go take care of this.
Plus, Purple Queen Lady probably shouldn't be released from her Fortress of Solitude Zod-like thing that she's been the Phantom Zone.
Generally a bad thing.
Right.
So then Sailor Moon goes off, finds her extra sailor soldiers. So they're the sailor Senshi. So first batch of them is Mars and Mercury and Venus and Jupiter. So they're the inner Senshi.
Okay.
Based on inner planets. Yes, I know about Jupiter. That's just how she decided to categorize them.
What is Jupiter not
she's
an inner planet?
She's outside the asteroid belt if you want to talk about planets. So maybe she shouldn't be an inner.
I bet you in the fan community, that comes up a fair amount.
It might. It's like if you look in a science book.
I thought you'd address it. Clearly you're like, well, this obviously needs to be addressed because someone's going to be shouting at their iPod going, you are not...
Yeah, correct. The second you say enter, you're just like, I know where planets are.
Okay.
And I see that asteroid belt. I see what side of the fence you're on.
That is a commitment to some fandom in the fact that we are talking about fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. So it sounds very cool, though. So she comes. So we begin the series where she and her cat go off to essentially regroup her army.
Exactly.
Okay. So,
and she's a klutz. She's
what's her
just,
name?
Usagi.
Usagi, just S-A-G-I?
No, U-S-A-G-I.
Oh, Usagi.
Yeah, Usagi.
Okay. Usagi. Okay, so Usagi and her cat, what's the cat's name?
Luna. Yeah.
Catchy.
Easy.
And,
yeah.
Right, easy peasy. So Luna and Usagi go to regroup her inner sanctum,
yeah.
Which is called a what?
The inner senshi. That's
senshi.
The, yeah. Yeah. S-E-N-S-H-I.
And is that Japanese for
yeah, just
something?
Sailor soldier.
Okay. And so those are her first five, like, generals, yeah. And, but they're called sailor soldiers.
Yeah. So basically they're all still teenagers, they're all still kids, and they
sure.
all still have to deal with real life
Who
stuff.
Who doesn't
at
like
the same
a
time?
Teen Titan kind of
exactly.
superpower group?
Exactly.
Okay.
And they all have, like, special elemental based powers too,
oh.
except for Venus, which is just love, and they just make up stuff for her. So, you know,
right.
just go with it.
Whatever's at left, Venus can handle it.
Yeah.
Excellent. Because it's some sort of emotional thing. Venus, we're going to need your help.
Yes. Oh, she has yeah. a, she has a chain attack. She has a Venus love me chain attack. Yep.
What does that mean?
I see your quizzical face.
Yeah, what does that mean? She's wearing a necklace?
So this is like definitely like with any anime series in the 90s, like when it comes to like fighting kind of animes like this, sometimes they have special attacks, and usually they have like a special animation for that special attack that just happens. You don't really know like if time is frozen during it. You don't know if it's happening
it's
real time. Yeah, it's just like when you shout out a power and
okay.
then suddenly bam, the enemy gets hit with something.
Okay.
So
and it can be and it's different per character.
Different per character
and
elemental based
is
or whatever.
Energy.
Yeah, Venus, one of hers is Venus Love Me Chain, and it's just like a chain made out of hearts, and she smacks people, and you just go with it.
Okay, and what happens to the people she smacked?
They die.
They do?
Yeah. In the manga, oh, dead. Hilariously dead. In the anime, they get like, usually like evil power has taken over the normal people, or there might be a monster of the week kind of situation, and they just get smacked up a little bit, and then Sailor Moon comes in with her magical power and heals them, and then they're back to normal.
Okay.
Over and over again for about 30 some episodes for the first season.
Okay. Okay. So that's Venus's. What's Mars' power? Is it
fire?
All
just setting people on fire.
Oh, just lights people on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Just lights people on fire. It's
excellent.
Fun. It's fun.
Excellent. That is nice. and what's Jupiter?
Lightning.
Lightning
and flower stuff. Yeah.
Flowers?
Yeah, yeah. No, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, she has flowers, roses. That's like her thing. When
Jupiter's
it comes...
a woman.
Yes.
And
yeah,
Jupiter...
they're all ladies.
Oh, they're all
ladies. They're all ladies.
Girls.
Yes. This is an all-girl team. This is
oh.
girl power all over the place.
Oh,
this is why
awesome.
I love it. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool. It's
oh,
kind
yeah.
of empowering and
mm-hmm.
super fun. So what... So Mars... a girl, Zort, no, fire. And so lights them on fire. And so they're dead. Jupiter, Zort with the lightning, but also flowers.
Flowers
come out of them or?
Sometimes. When it, like, it,
they turn them into a plant?
Basically,
what does she do?
Their little magical powers like change, per season. They get like upgrades. They get different mm. ones. She gets one called Flower Hurricane. It looks just
she
like.
She yells
just,
the word flower hurricane?
Yeah, Jupiter. Oh,
and
boy.
What does it look like?
Yeah. Basically like flower petals sometimes, depending on how it's drawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks like that. And you're like, sure, that's hurting the thing. Go with it.
And and this is all the manga. This is not even the TV show.
Both.
Okay. So, interesting. So so we have Mars and Jupiter and Venus.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two more?
We got Mercury.
Mercury. What's Mercury's deal?
Water.
Water.
Yeah.
Okay. And what does she do?
Just
drown people?
Pretty much. Just douses
okay.
them with water. She's not very effective. I
what
wish she was more effective than she is. She is not effective.
Maybe the Earth is too big.
Possibly.
She might need a... Like, you remember in Wonder Twin Power, someone was
yes.
a bucket, and then the other person was water.
She's one level down. She's one level down from that.
She needs a person to create some sort of vehicle to drown the person.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
One of her first powers was Mercury Chabon Spray, which is basically mist. That is it.
That is.
It's not offensive. It's barely defensive. That is it.
Well, you know, you throw water in somebody's face, they're going to need a minute.
Yeah. Just a little time out. Just a little time out.
Yeah. Just why don't you reconsider what you're doing? Yeah. Throw this bucket of water in your face. Interesting. And the last one?
That's Mercury, Mars, and Venus and Jupiter. We got Moon over there. That's pretty much the first series. And then we have Tuxedo Mask, who is the guy.
That's the handsome.
Yes, that's the prince.
That's our love interest.
Yeah, that's our love interest. So
okay.
He doesn't really remember anything either, and he figures it out along the way.
Does he have a familiar? Does he get an animal?
No, he is on his own.
He's on his own.
So basically, he's trying to look for the silver crystal, this magic silver crystal that he has this in his head that he has to search for this silver crystal.
Does anybody else want the silver crystal?
Yes, Queen Beryl wants it too.
Okay.
Because then that's going to give her the power to release other Queenie face.
Oh, right. Oh, yes. The Phantom Zone lady.
Exactly.
Got it.
So everyone's looking for this crystal, and so is Moon, because the cat basically says, hey, that's our crystal. You need to go find it. It's a symbol of our princess. You need to go get it.
Okay.
And she's like, I'm 14. I don't have my own car. I don't even have a credit card. I'll try, but we'll see.
Yeah.
So basically, it's a whole... That's the whole series.
Do they find the crystal at the end of the first season?
Yes. And she regains her memories and remembers all the backstory about being a princess on the moon and being star-crossed lovers with Tuxedo Mask.
And so does she meet Tuxedo Mask in the course of the show?
Yeah. And so you see them.
Fall in love?
Yes. You see them in the anime naturally fall in love. In the manga, which I love, it's a little bit fast-paced, so you don't really see it. You kind of see it, but it's so quick.
They're reunited?
Yeah, like their time on Earth.
And so they fall in love kind of instantaneously?
It's a little bit like miracle romance kind of thing.
Right?
Where it's just happening. These are our two main characters. They're going to make smushy face eventually.
Right.
This is where we're going with the story.
Right, they saw each other from across the thing, and they don't... In the historical like setup, had they met and it took a second?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when they reboot it, they're just like, no, they get it.
Yeah, they get it.
They're in love. It'll be fine. And so then do they end up traveling together? Or do they have their separate adventures?
They have their separate shenanigans through the first season, and then they figure out, like, oh, I was this guy in the past. I was this girl in the past. We're meant to be together. Okay, cool.
Now we are a team.
Yeah.
And then she has her sailor soldiers. Does he have soldiers?
Kind of. So he has four knights, four dudes. So they were also killed in the whole past murdering. And then they end up working for the bad guy under like an evil spell. So they're working for Beryl the entire time.
Of the first season.
Exactly. And
or the first arc.
Exactly.
Okay.
So that's a whole problem. So then they get picked off by the sailor soldiers because they're like, all right, you're our enemy. Go, you're gone. Like, we have to take care of this.
We have to destroy you.
Yeah. And at the end, you figure out, like, oh, hey, in the past, they were good guys.
Oh, and we actually just killed them.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
That feels very Japanese.
Yeah.
They're like, no, let's not bring them back again.
Yeah,
that
pretty
seems
much.
Rude.
They're gone for the rest of the series.
Okay, they're gone for the...
Yeah.
So he is alone.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have his own settler soldiers.
Yeah, he has zero backup. So basically... Everyone from like the Moon Kingdom and all the sailor soldiers, they're kind of his backup, kind of by proxy of
Usagi. So he's essentially become a moon prince.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he's like, I'm an earth prince, but I don't have any, I don't have a kingdom.
Yeah.
So he's now just.
My one room apartment is my.
Does he have a one room apartment?
It looks like it. Yeah.
Does she have do they have parents?
She does, yeah, and like all the regular kids, all the kids do.
Yeah.
They have parents that have no idea any of this is going on.
Okay, do they check in with them at all?
A little, not so as much later. They just gotta fade into the background.
That's what you gotta do. Eventually, you gotta fade into the background with the wah.
Yeah,
it's Charlie Brown kind of sitch, and wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's involved. Like this kid show that we got to see over in America, kind of dubbed, is so intricate. If you go and watch like the Japanese version of it, if you go and watch the American version of it, you get some of the story, you get like the basic outline, but we changed so much of it that first go around
in that translation.
They made it very kid friendly. They took out a lot of blood. They definitely dumbed it down.
Did they actually edit the episodes out some of the gore?
Mm-hmm. They also added kind of like wraparound things to the back of the episode, being like, what did we learn today? Kind of things.
It was like G.I. Joe, more you know?
Exactly. Only with more hearts and moons.
Oh, of course, because it's for girls.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh, I'm going to throw up. But
and characters who die in the Japanese version, they just go away, you know? They don't really allude to like, oh, he's dead.
He's dead, yeah. So when you saw it, how old were you?
I don't know.
When you first born, because you got sucked into the American version, right?
Yeah. I was probably like 8 or so.
So you were little. You were perfect age for this.
It was made for me. Right. But it was definitely like I was able to.
And you saw it on like Cartoon Network or Nick at Night?
It was syndicated at that point. So it was just like regular. Exactly. Okay. I think it was Fox, actually. First off. And yeah, it was on Fox. And I was like, oh, this is interesting. This isn't like anything else I've seen.
Right. And there were dozens of them.
Yes.
And they just replayed them.
Exactly.
Like Into Dragon Ball Z, kind of.
Oh, yeah, which is another thing I grew up on, easily. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of posturing up in the sky with Dragon Ball Z that I'm like, I like this show, but is there a way to fast forward?
There kind of is. They made a second version of it called Dragon Ball Kai, which is supposedly like a remastered version where it goes faster. They cut out all the filler. They go like, all right, we're actually going to get to the plot. This isn't going to be like 5 episodes of Goku warming up.
Exactly. And him occasionally wanting a sandwich.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's a little faster. It's still a little slow, but it's faster.
So was Sailor Moon slow like that?
Not really, because with that, the filler where you get actual character development was useful. It was Monster of the Week, but you got to actually know the characters more than the manga even.
Was it episodic? Like, did they fight a monster per week and then kind of wrap it up Scooby-Doo style?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, with the plot of the entire arc slowly creeping up in the background.
Yeah, there's the big thing in the background.
Exactly.
But I do like the satisfaction of, okay, we had a battle, we won the battle, next battle.
Yes.
And we're inching towards, it's a kind of a video game kind of play to it. But so when did you start reading the manga?
Probably a little bit after, like when I was in high school, because it wasn't over here for a while.
Okay, so it took like 5 years of... 5 year? Did you watch it all through junior high too?
Pretty much, yeah. The second I found out about the internet and figured out Japan and like Japanese animation, I found out about fan subs.
Okay,
and was like, oh, someone is actually putting out like VHSs of the subtitle versions. So I was like, oh, okay,
how much is it gonna cost? Subs short for subtitles?
Yes, but it's done by fans. Like back before everything. Oh. And its mom was licensed by like actual American companies. A lot of people that went to see anime over here took it upon themselves, like,
to hire translators.
To be the translators.
To learn Japanese.
Yes, yeah. Some probably learned it afterwards.
They're like, I am the greatest pusher of Sailor Moon ever. I'm going to learn Japanese, learn editing, and I'm going to edit and subtitle this thing that I already get.
Yes.
But needs... My niece, who lives in Kansas, needs to see this.
Exactly. And would
that's
basically
insane.
Just see. Yes, that's
the greatest dorkdom in the world.
That was the anime community in the 90s and in the 80s too, definitely, of just like circulating the tapes, you know, just like basically just fan subbing them, finding the site online that had the series that you wanted, finding out how much it was going to be, and just buying them and then waiting for them to come in and watching them, enjoying them, enjoying something that is not available over here yet.
Right. And the quality was mixed.
It was pretty good. It depended on the fan subber, whether the translation was good or whether it was like a transfer from
TV. There boards and stuff where people review the subs and stuff. And
like just this making sure quality control. Basically.
Quality control. Mm-hmm. That's because when I first moved to Los Angeles, I did a lot of childcare. I did some childcare, mm-hmm. and one of them was for a kid named Cole Schuster, who is in his 20s now. Mm-hmm. Hello. And he is a very nice young man in a jazz trio in Seattle. You ever get to see Cole Schuster play guitar? He's quite gifted. Anyway, But he loved Dragon Ball Z.
Mm-hmm.
And so like Christmas would come or his birthday would come. And there's a toy store in Sherman Oaks, California, in Los Angeles, called Toy Mandala.
Mm-hmm.
And they had in a drawer, like not out, these VHS tapes
mm-hmm.
that were subtitled Dragon Ball Z. That's what those
there you
were
go.
Fan
yeah,
subs.
You got it. That
and
that's
this is
it.
1999. Does that sound about
some
right?
Some of them might have been licensed. Some of them might not have been. So
it did not seem licensed.
There you go.
And I gave them to him, and he was probably 8 or 9 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, they're not dubbed, because he only watched the dubbed ones mm-hmm. on cable. And he was like, I don't care if they're dubbed. I'm dipped. I need to see more Dragon Ball Z. I need to see more posturing in the sky. And I need to see what happens with Goku. And so was it like that?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So, and then did you end up, what did it, like, how many seasons of Sailor Moon are there? There's five.
Yeah, 5 seasons of the anime and 5 arcs of the manga.
Okay. And is it ongoing? At this point,
kind of. The first anime wrapped up, and so did the manga. That wrapped up in 1997.
Okay.
And then recently, they did a new version of it, an updated version of it, one that followed the manga more closely. Mm. So with the weird pacing. So that came out last year, or started last year, or actually the 2013, I think.
Okay.
I think it was actually 2014. Sailor Moon Crystal. I was insanely excited about it.
I'm sure.
And then I wasn't.
Because it's not good.
It's not good.
They didn't nail it? Do you think it's not good, or do you think that you're not 8 anymore?
I think it might be a mixture of both, but the animation quality of it, like if you see any modern anime right now and you see it stacked up against it, you're like, wow, some of this one of these things is not like the other.
Right.
One of these things is barely animated.
Okay, like, so they just kind of phoned it in?
Yes, they were very much.
We're going to take advantage of the fact that people love Sailor Moon.
Yes, it very much feels like that. I know that the show has its fans and more power to them.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm one of them.
Right. You got original Sailor Moon. Are there some? How was the writing? Was the writing?
It was pretty good. It was definitely like.
Are there
it had,
great lines? Like
no, not really.
When you talk to other Sailor Moon fans, and you reference stuff, do you just reference characters?
Moments, and like your favorite characters. Like the certain
like, what's
arcs
a great
you like.
Moment?
One of my favorite episodes.
So many.
Yeah. One of my favorite episodes from like one of the later seasons, it involves Sailor Venus, and it's basically what, like, the theme of that season was to find like pure hearts in people. That's how the bad guy was getting the energy from people and trying to find these talismans. So they would look into like, they would grab these crystallized pure hearts out of random people or people that were excelling at whatever they were doing.
Right.
And pretty much everyone, on the Sailor team had that happen to them except for Venus.
Okay.
And she got into a little bit of funk because it's like, am I not pure? Am I not a good person? I'm a good person. Don't you think I'm a good person? And everyone is like, yeah.
Intimidating, but yes, you're a good person.
Or just looking at her like, we might want to debate some things, but like, yeah, pure, you're totally pure. And so she tries to excel at everything very quickly to be like, hey, look at me, you totally want to go after me. And then she eventually succeeds. But that whole episode was just like them questioning her, and that's one of the funniest episodes I've seen in that whole series.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's super fun.
Yeah.
And so when people, like I do an anime convention, or mm-hmm. I've done one twice, the Akon
mm-hmm.
in Dallas.
Yes.
And I never know who anybody is. I'm always excited with the amount of effort that people are willing to do. But how do they, can you dress up? Are they distinct, these five, all these people?
Yeah, like you definitely know when someone's dressed up as like a sailor soldier. It's like the traditional like sailor fuku, kind of like the sailor thing at the top.
Like a Cracker
around
Jack.
The shoulders.
Like
yeah.
a Cracker Jack
exactly.
outfit, but then mm-hmm. Japanese
yeah.
anime.
And then like a, yeah, exactly. And then skirt, and then bow in the back, and then whatever, shoes, wig, whatever, and color accordance to which sailor soldier are.
Oh, to which sailor soldier. Okay.
Yes. Yeah, okay. It's easy to tell which is which. Everyone's color-coded.
Okay, Power Rangers style.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, all right. Wow. All right. So do you watch a lot of anime?
I've started to get back into it recently. Like, I'm definitely more of like a child of the 90s with that anime, like, scene with like Bubblegum Crisis and Neon Genesis, Evangelion, and definitely Sailor Moon and Dragon Ball Z, and XL Saga, stuff like that.
And you did, and in high school, you were reading mostly manga.
Reading and watching it. We actually had our own anime club, which was great.
That's crazy.
Where'd you grow up? Baltimore.
In Baltimore?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So our high school, our awesome high school, actually had an anime club for us. And we would bring in like fan subs, whoever had something, if they had like, especially if they had a whole series of something, yeah. They would just bring it in. That would be what we'd just watch and go from there and read manga.
Are you still friends with those people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, that's life changing. Exactly. To meet someone who's really into the thing you're into mm-hmm. at that kind of formative age.
Mm-hmm.
Or at any age. What the hell? Anyway, who's above that? And, But you went away from it. You weeded off?
Yeah, a little
bit. Into different kinds of animation or into different kinds of television?
Kinds of animation. And then I started getting into like American comics even, like a little bit more during that time.
Right, because of Level 7, Paige Branson, @Paige_Branson on Twitter, and Level 7 Access Podcast.
You got it.
And so when did you start reading comics?
I probably say like a little bit during the end of high school, and then like, cause basically I went to like an art high school.
Okay.
And I kind of realized like, wow, I really don't want to go into fine arts. Like it was like a magnet high school where you had to pick like whether you're going to go into like photography or painting, or if you're doing
graphic
something else.
Design or?
Yeah. Graphic design or literary arts or like theater arts. Like you pretty much had to like pick something and stick with it. And I did not do that. I kind of
dabbled in
everything. I dabbled
whatever
in everything.
Whatever they'd let you take.
Exactly. Like that was my senior year. I was just like, I'm going to go to sculpture for a little while. I'm going to go back up to graphic design for a little while. And just because like I didn't really find something I was really attached to. And then I really started to get into comic books a little bit more. And I was like, this
art
school.
Art magnet school probably had access to a fair.
They kind of did, but it wasn't seen as like a fine art, you know? It wasn't seen as like a respectable art.
No, not
surprise!
The 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, because Andy Ashcraft, who you know, met mm-hmm. On Level 7, is my fella, and he would bring in comic books to his art classes
mm-hmm.
at UCLA in the 90s, and the guy was like, look how much work this is. What do these people get paid per page? Or what do they, and Andy, he didn't know that they got paid per page, like his art teacher. And he said, it's $250 per page. And he said, oh my God, that's slave labor. This is a lot of work.
Yes, it is.
And it was so much. And the 90s, of course, I can't even read those comic books from the 90s just because they're kind of a mess.
Yeah, there's a lot of shoulder pads and yeah, the word bubbles don't flow as well. The panel layout can go insane sometimes.
Yeah, it's just harder for, and I didn't really start reading comics for real until 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Like I read some Spider-Man back in the, I think late 70s, early 80s, and that was it. And so, what did you first get into?
I was Marvel right from the beginning.
Right from
much.
The beginning.
Yeah.
Did not get into like R. Crumb, Sad Sack.
Not really. Not until later. I definitely like got into like Strangers in Paradise a little bit later, like stuff like that. But it was definitely, I think one of the first comics I read was like a Todd McFarlane Spider-Man.
Okay.
And I don't remember which issue it was, but I was just like, I just picked it up and I was like, oh, all right. I got a couple seconds. I'm just going to flip through it. And I started like to really, really, really get into comics at that point. It was just like, well, I want more now.
Was it the art or was it the story?
It was the art. I was just like, oh, this is a thing that could happen that maybe I could do one day and pursue.
Yeah.
Let me go over here and figure this out.
Yeah.
But then taking that love of it back into like a very fine arts driven high school was a little awkward because it absolutely was not respected at all and was not seen as like something that anyone there should pursue or focus their time on.
Right, right. Well, the weirdest thing is because it's not like you make this amazing living at fine art.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like anybody's giving a shit about fine art.
Yeah.
Why not go paint your weird, I want to draw a superhero and I want to draw a mouse with a sword.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the fuck you want to draw.
Exactly. It was definitely like more of like, they always had an attention to detail when it came to like proportion and making everything look realistic. And then I would be like, here's Alec Ross. Look at his artwork.
What did he do?
He does a lot of cover work. He's done a bunch of DC stuff too, but it's all photorealistic. He does a lot of gouache kind of like paintings basically and has done entire comics, like using that. And they're so photorealistic and they're so like proportioned and everything looks amazing where it's like, here is an exception to this crazy rule that you
set up. That you're not seeing this is what you're saying. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. Well, the Astro City, the, whoever does that art, who does that art? Any idea?
My brain is dying.
That's fine. It's, my thing with comic books is very sad. It's not sad. Is that I'm just 10 years later, really getting to know the names of the writers.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and then I would love the art is so important to the entire genre, turns out. So why don't I know their names? And I don't. So
I'm just terrible with names in general when it comes to like artists and writers and just anyone involved with anything really. So it's just like, oh, I know the title of this thing. I will one day learn the names of the people who created it.
Right, right. And who are really into it. And it's what one of the most beautiful things about it is the different kinds of art. Because it can be any, you know, like someone who draws Deadpool in one comic and draws the next artist, they draw them differently. It's like a fingerprint to some extent because you can't, I mean, draw the Marvel way is a beautiful book. But it's not going to look exact. Artist to artist, right?
Right. That's why I like books that have like rotating artists on them, like from like issue to issue, like the current Shield comic that just came out.
Okay.
They're for the most part self-contained stories so far, but they have a different artist per book.
Okay.
And it's so good so far, just seeing like just the variety of styles from people.
Yeah.
Like interpreting the same characters, but in just completely different styles.
That's interesting. And it's an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, it pretty much is. It has like Coulson, it's starting to introduce like
Sky and
yeah, she's going to be coming in later probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cuz they just rebooted it essentially.
And yeah,
just starting
pretty much.
Over. Well, why jump in?
Yeah.
And cuz then they'd have to go real time. And they'd probably get ahead of it actually cuz they're
going
to be down.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, So now that you're back in anime, what are you watching?
Right now, I'm watching a lot of female-driven, like lead character kind of things. Like Kill la Kill is something that came out. Like
Kill la Kill.
Kill la Kill.
L A.
Yes.
Okay.
It's really good. It's got a really cool like frenetic style to the animation, which I absolutely love.
Okay.
There was an anime a couple years back called Soul Eater that was really good. That's another one with like a really nice like Halloween kind of style to it.
Okay.
So those are like my top two
and
right now.
And they're kind of, are they kind of spooky drawn?
Yes.
Like they're drawn kind of scary?
Yes.
So Kill la Kill, what's the premise of that?
Is there
a woman protagonist?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. That's another insanely convoluted thing. The gist of it basically is that your clothes are alive or certain articles of clothing are alive and they can change into magical battle armor.
Okay.
And, there's this school, that, basically has like different rankings of different clothing. And each clothing can do like a random like ability for that person. And it's this whole gotta fight my way up to the top of the school kind of thing for the first half. And then some other stuff comes in on the second half of the series. Yup. I see your face.
Yeah. Here's the question. It's an anime cartoon. It's a television program about the clothing.
Mm-hmm.
And our main character is someone who wishes to be worthy of this clothing?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
Like they're working side by side to achieve a goal.
Her and the clothing are working together to do their tasks.
These are wonderful sentences.
They're the greatest sentences, yes. So what is the name of our character? In What's Her Face? Again, with names, no worries.
Kill. Ryuko. I'm sure I'm wrong. It has been a couple months since I watched it.
Right, right,
but,
yeah.
Yeah,
and
but
so
she's awesome.
She shows up to school just wearing jeans and a t-shirt.
More or less, and has a gigantic scissor blade on her back. Like half of a scissor, but it's
just the
long
one
sword length. Yes.
It's like the circle part where you put your thumb.
Yep. And the blade.
The blade.
Half a blade, yeah. And it's long sword and, length.
And that's her, and that is her weapon.
Yeah. And she basically challenges the head of the school,
I need your clothes.
She basically wants to know who killed her dad.
Okay.
And knows that the person who's the head of the student council knows who killed her dad or is somehow connected to it and basically has to like fight her way up the ranks.
I want there to be a scene where the Jostens Ring people come in and they really want you to get a class ring. Anyway, So there's a very funny story of my brother Russell. He was president of the student council. Most of my siblings were president of student council. I had no political aspirations. I wanted to be the power behind the throne. I was the editor of the school newspaper.
I was the secretary of our school council.
Were you? There you go. It's my friend Tracy Ashley. She was student council president. Mm-hmm. The woman who wrote Lean In or whatever, the mm-hmm. Facebook lady.
Yeah.
She was their treasurer. She went to high school with the treasurer, with the Lean In lady. And I said, have you talked to her recently? She said, probably should. And I said, you're a comic. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
What are you going to say to her? You got a corporate for me? It's not going to, you don't need it. But, my brother Russ had this whole thing where Jostin wanted to come into a presentation to be the, they had always been the school ring people.
Mm-hmm.
They were always going to be the school ring people. But Russ was like, no, we're looking at other companies. And so that the guy would bribe him.
Oh, really?
Yes. And he said, and I took that bribe. And I was like, out loud? Aren't you? I'm so glad that you're not in a position of power that anyone should.
Actual power or anything.
That someone could use that against you.
Yeah.
And here's the plausible deniability. He could tell you that he never told me that story. And let's give him that. Anyway, so she shows up with half a scissor on her back and she wants to know if
who killed her dad knows that this is somehow connected to the chairperson of the student council.
And how does that battle work out?
Oh, it works out kind of sideways, for a little while. She makes friends. She learns things along the way.
He accepts her into the school after fighting her?
They do accept her. It's a lady who's the chairman of like the student council.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Girl fight.
Yeah, it's great.
Okay.
She's just like, all right, bring it. If you want to fight your way up the school, go for it. Cool. I don't think you're going to do it, but awesome. Try your luck.
Okay.
So that's basically the series up to a certain point.
So she shows up at the door.
Yeah.
She fights the principal lady.
She fights the flunkies first. She has to work her way up. It's basically by clubs. So there's like a tennis club. The first one was a boxing club. So yeah. Oh yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. But how does the clothing get involved? And how does she get, she's like, I want to fight you guys. And they're like, well, you have to actually go to school here to fight us.
Pretty
Is that
much.
The deal?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. And then she finds her school uniform. Yeah.
Right. And then she finds her school uniform.
Yeah. Which
Tell
is
me that
alive.
Story.
I think it was in the ruins of her father's house that was burnt down, and then like she falls
and that's
through a
what
thing.
Leads her to the school.
Yes, exactly.
So she's wearing the uniform when she shows up.
Yeah,
and they're like, "Okay, well, you belong here."
Yeah, they're
There's
like
a bunk.
Yeah,
and
but they're still like, "All right, cool. You just showed up. That's great. Here's the boxing club to just take you out of this game right now.
Okay.
You're not even a concern." Goodbye. And she obviously just triumphs over all,
right.
and keeps
and do
going.
Do they have boxing clothes on? Clothing?
Yeah, it's all themed. Whatever school uniform that they're wearing, it's going to be just overblown with like boxing theme, like metal, like, or like rock kind of like gauntlet type, like boxing gloves that the guy had and just insane boxing rules. And that's how she had to triumph over it. It's all overblown and over exaggerated.
Sure. Cause
like,
it's anime.
And really, and really funny too, which is what I love.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
So there's a good comedic angle to it.
Yeah. With anything that I like, it's got to have some sort of comedy in it.
Okay.
Because
it's got to be goofy a little bit where they're like, we understand this is silly.
Yeah. It can never take itself too seriously. Like, I know you love Lord of the Rings.
I do.
I know. I can meet you kind of halfway on it.
Have you read Lord
yes,
of the Rings?
Yes, I have. I have. But they're not as... There's a little bit of humor in it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
They're Peter Jackson.
Yes.
Is the most cold, deadly stared. There's not an ounce of humor in any of those movies. That might be my major problem with the movies is the fact that the only thing they do is they make Merry and Pippin like the and it seems dismissive.
Yes.
Because those guys are actually heroes. and make everybody had a vaguely silly part to it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a serious thing, but it wasn't
deathly serious.
It wasn't
deathly
serious all the time. Sam is just plodding along, and they want to eat mushrooms, and then they want to. I mean, there's much more regular human joy to it, regular daily,
exactly,
day to day, which this also has, but also is goofier,
mm-hmm,
a little bit goofier.
Oh yeah.
And well, it ought to be because it's animated.
Mm-hmm.
And, but manga can be anything. I mean, it can be the saddest story of Hiroshima that you've ever seen in your life. I actually.
Yes, Grave of the Fireflies. Yes.
What was that called?
Grave of the Fireflies.
I actually gave that to my nephew without watching it.
Oh, that's
it when
a bad idea.
Nine.
No.
Yeah, he watched it, and I called him and I said, "Hey, Salmon." He was the guy who designed the Black Ranger t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
He graduated from art school and said,
awesome,
"Can I fix your logo? Because it's brutal." He did not put it like that. And then he drew that. And now he's a graphic designer in DC, actually.
Awesome.
So I called him. I was talking to my brother and Salmon was right there. And I said, "Hey, how'd you like the cartoon I sent you?" And he said, "I don't know if you watched it, Aunt Jackie." And I said, "I didn't. And was it great?" And he goes, "It was really, really sad."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "What?" He said, "It was about two little kids who walk away from the nuclear bomb that drops on Hiroshima and Nagasaki." And I was like, "What did I give you?"
Sadness fuel. You gave him sadness fuel.
It was the darkest thing in the world. And that was the year that I made a decision to watch everything and read everything before I gave it to the kids.
Yeah, generally a good idea.
Yeah, never a bad idea. You're not just
It's a great movie. It's a great movie. Just maybe not to your nephew.
Yeah, maybe not a 9-year-old for no reason. Just because you're like, "Oh, cartoons." And he liked weird anime.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he liked all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just went with it.
Yeah.
And he was an art kid, you know, which I gave him Marvel the Drawing thing too. Mm-hmm. And he was 8, I think. And he goes, "This is too hard." And I said, "Well, you're not always going to be 8, weirdo."
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll grow into it. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, just draw what you can and then keep going. And he said that it actually affected. I felt pretty proud of myself. It actually helped. My older nephew, I gave him his first hip hop tape. And he is a hip hop nut now. And
nice.
I don't know that was necessarily, and he's a sommelier. He's a wine dude.
Oh, like one like the few people that can actually like
make a living.
Like certified and
he works for a chain of liquor stores, like wine stores in Brooklyn, and they send him to France 3 times a year to pick wine, and he's like, "I don't know if I want to do this," and I'm like,
"Too late.
It's the greatest job in the world." And okay, do something else then, but. You fell into it, and it's a win.
Yeah.
So whatever.
At that point, you're kind of in.
you're totally in. And I've weeded off. What would you recommend people watch and read? What the heck? Just in general.
In general, when it comes to like to anime or to like just comics in
Let's
general.
Start with anime. We'll go to comics. We'll go to prose. We'll go to nonfiction, and then we'll talk about textbooks.
Okay.
No. So what about anime?
about
Attack the Titans? Attack.
I'm slowly warming up to it. That's like the most popular anime right now is Attack on Titan.
On Titan.
I think I'm the only person in the world who's just kind of like meh on it because wow, is that humorless?
It's super grumpy.
Yeah, it is.
I watched the first 3 or 4 episodes and I was like, this isn't getting any. I mean, the funniest thing was when he takes over the giant Titan dude.
Yeah.
That's the last one I saw.
Yeah. So, it was like, wow, there's a lot of ash in the air, like all the time, and everything is brown.
And they're constantly eating people.
Yeah.
It's a lot of legs sticking out of a giant chomper mouth.
Yeah, that I'm cool with. But
And then the legs just kind of going.
Oh, yeah,
that's fun. That's
it happens.
Good times.
But and characters just monologue a little bit too much when it comes to like their motivations and what they should do next. Like,
oh right. There's a lot of telling, not showing.
Yeah. There's a lot of talking. I'm like, you guys can speed it up just a little. But
so yeah, what are you loving?
That I'm slowly starting to get into. I'm trying to think of what else. I'm like,
it was Kill la Kill.
Kill la Kill.
You said there was the other one.
Oh god,
it went away.
Yeah, but that's pretty much like, I don't get into too many series right now because there are so many that go on forever, like your Narutos and your One Pieces that have 200 plus episodes and just keep going.
Right,
and your Bleaches.
It'd be hard to start at the beginning of
exactly.
those.
Exactly. And I have no time or patience for those anymore. Okay. I've kind of realized that as an aging anime fan, I'm just like, yeah. I can't do that. So I go down to like your 26 episode series or your 13 episode series.
Or something that's just starting, maybe,
yes.
Where you can kind of get in on the ground floor.
I did just watch Yuki Yuna is a Hero. Madoka Magica. Those are both, they're both very much alike each other. They're both magical girl series.
Okay.
Resensing a theme here.
Yep.
they're both very good series. And they're both like different enough that you can enjoy both of them. But you can tell that Yuki Yuna looked at Madoka and went like, yeah, I like what you're doing there. I will take bits of you and make my own thing.
And twist it up a little
yeah.
bit. And plus magical girl, or a magical child, one of the greatest tropes in the world.
Yes.
Everybody wants that.
Yeah.
So it's all good. And they're kind of coming of age stories, right?
Yes, exactly.
Even Naruto he seems to have to learn over and over and over again.
Over and
friends.
Over.
Are important.
Yeah.
And
for a billion volumes of the manga
exactly.
and a billion episodes of the anime.
One of my really good friend of mine is the woman who does the voice of Naruto.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Miley Flanagan.
Oh,
she's
yeah.
Minneapolis comic actress.
That's cool.
And she's also in some Disney show called Lab Rats.
Okay.
She plays the principal. And, like 300 episodes of Naruto.
Oh, yeah.
And
a lot of screaming. You know,
a lot of screaming, a lot of yallering, and but they send for her. They sit at the anime conventions. They send for her.
Yeah,
send for the voice of Naruto.
Oh yeah,
and, yeah. So are you still reading? Because it's got to be art wise. You're dipped. I know in the comic books.
Yeah, I've dropped off reading manga. I've moved more into like spending my money on American comics
There's
right now.
So many of them.
Yep.
It's impossible to read and buy everything.
Yeah, I just don't have that amount of money.
Nobody has
so
that,
I was able to pick
the
and
money
choose.
Is almost more important than the time, but
mm-hmm.
the time is just as important.
Mm-hmm.
It only takes 20 minutes to read a comic book, but I just talked to Andy today. He's coming to New York today, and he said, so I went and I picked up 28 comics at, because it's been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think it's been 3 weeks.
Okay, that
and
makes
said,
sense.
He said, which one should I bring?
Yeah.
And I said, I just bring 10 because I have, you know, I have this Batman graphic novel that this guy suggested I read.
Mm-hmm.
I was just given I did an episode of this artist's book and he gave me it's a children's graphic novel.
Mm-hmm.
He draws for SpongeBob SquarePants.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Yeah.
He was telling me on the show, he said, it doesn't have any cred. Nobody approves. And I said, well, then they're wrong.
Because yeah.
you get to make a living drawing comics.
Exactly.
He
like,
said,
you've
oh,
won. You've
yeah,
won. It's okay.
He said, yeah, I know. I feel like I've already won, but they want me to, you know, they want me to draw Preacher or some damn thing. I'm going to actually grab it. Tell a story about, what comics you're liking right now.
Oh, God, so many. So, yeah, I basically keep up with a lot of the modern, Marvel comics, like the Marvel Now line. So I've been reading Deadpool a lot. That's probably one of, like, my favorite absolute series right now. And unfortunately, it's ending soon. So I'm kind of sad about that. Deadpool.
Deadpool, which the Duggan
Hossein
one?
Yeah,
they're
it's ending
it?
Soon. Yeah, they're killing Deadpool. However, they're going to be killing him. Yeah, I know.
That seems unlikely.
Yeah.
He seems to, his head gets chopped off and yet he's still.
Yeah, seems mildly temporary. Yeah.
It seems always incredibly temporary.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Greg Siegel. And,
okay.
He was, yeah.
See, I like this style more than anything where it's not overly detailed. You see like the really crisp lines. It's not like shadowed and like crosshatched to hell. Like I like the more
cartoony.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it has and it's pow and bam.
That's cool.
And it's a kid and that one's a kid's one. What's it called?
Pix.
And yeah, it's just and he was talking about how he likes to write for little kids.
Yeah.
More than other, you know, sometimes. Oh, one weirdest weekend. He did tell a story about how some publisher was like, why don't you just call it One Weird Weekend? And he said, because weirdest is funner.
Yeah.
And it's just
it makes you think.
You're just like, the weirdest. All right, then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love those Deadpools. Those are great.
Yeah. So I've been enjoying that run just immensely, but it's coming to an end soon. So I'm sad that it's coming to an end. Like, and the death of Deadpool does seem temporary. I'm just wondering about all like the secondary characters that they've created, like Agent Preston, and Sheikla, his wife, who I adore. Like,
she's
I love
hilarious.
Her. Yes.
She should have her own book.
Yes, she should. She could easily do that.
Yeah. She's the queen of the underground vampire fighter people.
Yeah. Yeah. She's
what
just,
is, what like, is her deal?
She's like a demon, queen, right? Demon succubus can like. She's
not
awesome.
A vampire. She's
no,
a demon.
Yeah.
The vampire. She was supposed to be the wife of one of the Draculas.
Yes.
And I have to call all vampires Draculas now, just because of Deadpool.
Yeah.
And just because how mad they got in that Deadpool, it's like, stop calling us Draculas.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Well, stop acting like Draculas.
You're Draculas, and. Yeah, so are you reading Ms. Marvel?
Yes, yeah. I've been keeping current on that, so that's been great. I love
great.
That book so much.
So fun. Captain Marvel, hit and miss, but back to being hit for me, because I like it.
I've been catching up on that, because I have, like, the Marvel Unlimited account thing on my phone, and all of those, like, I can read whatever I want, it's just everything is 6 months behind. So it's everything, it's just not exactly current. It's usually, like, one story arc behind. So that's why I am with, like,
Captain Marvel. Because comic books come out once a month.
Yeah.
So you're six issues behind on whatever. Any given Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. So what are you reading? Any non-Marvel stuff? Any like Saga? Or
I still
any
need to get into Saga. I know Saga's good. Everyone tells me Saga's good.
Saga's just action romance.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's just adorable.
It looks like it has everything for me. I just need to sit down and just devote time to it.
Right, but if you have the Marvel app, you're sucked into Marvel
exactly
world. Yeah, and then...
So mostly Marvel. I do read the X-Files comic, and I did read the Ghostbusters comic that are through IDW.
Okay.
I think that's it for
How about Dark Horse?
No, I'm not really over at Dark Horse.
Hellboy and BPRD?
I did in the past. I haven't, like, kept current or anything.
Yeah, Abe Sapien.
Yeah.
Because the world is ending. It's,
yeah.
The world is always ending.
Yeah.
In that one.
Yay,
but this one
Marvel.
Seems like
yeah,
really
it actually
ending.
Is happening.
Yeah, I think it's actually dying. I was like, oh, interesting.
Like they're doing with Marvel right now. Did you hear about that with the craziness with the Secret Wars?
Yeah, because of the movie.
Kinda, yeah.
They're going to take the Marvel Universe... And they're going to take the Ultimate Universe and they're going to combine them, but destroy by destroying both of them. Is
More
that correct?
Or less. They're like smushing them together, but then they're going to take the pieces of both universes for a little while and put them in the battle world into their own separate countries. And then they're going to fight it out. I guess. I don't know. It's very confusing.
That sounds horrible.
Yeah. I'm not a big
fan. That sounds like the worst crossover ever.
I
don't even like crossovers.
Yeah.
I'm just like, there's a reason why I'm buying She-Hulk. I don't have to, it doesn't have to apply to the axis of evil or whatever.
So all those books that are in like the 616 main universe, and then all the books that are in the Ultimate Universe, they're, I guess, all going to just take a break while this is happening because both universes are going to cease to exist. And then whatever's left over with whatever characters are left over will have their books from now on.
The Spider-Verse thing is hilarious.
Yeah. I've started to get into that. I've started to get into that.
Where there's, in one of these parallel universes, there's a family that hunts all Spider-Men.
Mm-hmm.
And, Spider-Man. Bill Spider-Man. All Spider-Man kind of superheroes. So there's like a pig Spider-Man, there's a monkey Spider-Man, and they're all from different worlds. And it's pretty great. There's Spider-Women, there's Spider, and so I never read Spider-Man since I was a kid, and I got into it when Doc Ock took over his body.
Yeah, that's when I got back into it, too, with that run, because it was great.
That writing was amazing. Yeah. Who the hell was that? Is that Dan Slott?
Yes, Dan Slott, yeah.
Okay, because it was the best thing I had read in a million years.
Yeah, I was totally skeptical of it, but then I actually sat down and read it, and I was like, oh, this is great. This is brilliant. I'm down for this.
I don't know how he's doing it, because I can't tell. Do you write comics as well?
Yeah.
And have you gotten some... Your art is amazing.
Oh,
Thank you. Paige Branson, Tumblr.com. And then at Paige_Branson is what it's on Twitter. But are you getting work from any of the powers that be?
No, I just do like freelance stuff sometimes. Okay. I still consider myself just starting out. I do like a little bit like crazy webcomic kind of things that really have no bearing on anything.
Well, but isn't that like Kate Beaton?
I think
Hark of Vagrant.
Yeah.
Hark of Vagrant lady did that. The woman who does Ogloff.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ginger Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three that sort of their Tumblr accounts kind of help them.
Oh, yeah.
Get publishing deals and work and all kinds of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
So, because the internet, it's a wild west. It's hopefully you'll get work because you're really, really good. And, not a problem. Oh, it has been an hour. So good for me for the flattery. And then we can wrap it up. but Paige, thank you so much for coming on and doing this show.
Thank you for having me.
This has been great. You've chosen wisely, Rangers. Go check out Paige Branson's art because it's awesome. Okay, bye.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?